Well, hello once again, boys and girls. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And after enjoying a educational and fun and possibly slightly exhausting trip to many cities in this great country we call the United States of America, watching baseball games and spending quality father and son time, we return to our airwaves, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, to talk politics and a few other things. And since we last got together, of course, seems like a whole lifetime of history has occurred, but that's kind of how we roll here in 2023. So, Ron, glad to have you back on our airwaves. And how's it going out there in the sunny sunshine state of Florida?
Well, I'm doing fine, but by God, is it hot here. Everywhere it's hot now because we have the worst, hottest weather in 100,000 years, it's told by some science.
Must be that climate change they talk about. I guess Yes. You're kind of with me. Yeah. You know, we don't want to remind people of Dr. Fineman. Well, I just call him Ron. It's just easier that way. He's our official political commentator. We call him a presidentologist. That's a word that I made up, by the way.
And I wish it was a real word.
Yeah, in many ways, he tends to the left, but in some things, it's kind of neutral. And, you know, me, being a heavily libertarian-leaning independent, you never quite know what I'm going to believe. As I tell people, how do you sum up my politics? I'm as anti-mask as I am pro-choice. That kind of sums me up. So, and many things we agree partially. I think most of the things we talk about today will be a partial agreement, but I'm not afraid to ask Ron the difficult questions and provide his insight. He does have a PhD in presidentology. He does teach what I call presidentology and has done so almost as long as I've been alive, and that's quite a long time. He contributes to the History News Network, sometimes to MSNBC, and he writes his own blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, and sometimes he might even be on a television screen near you. And so before we get to the juicy stuff, Ron, and there's been quite a bit of that, as I implied, and those who follow Ron on Facebook are aware that, like myself, you're a baseball fan. You and your eldest son, David, went all over the great United States, including almost in our backyard here in North Central Ohio, to view baseball games. And you mentioned your favorite stadium. I mean, and this isn't really surprising, would be the near north side of Chicago and yes. Wrigley Field. And tell us why you like Wrigley Field so much.
Wrigley Field is just great. It's the original stadium except for Fenway Park, which is a little older in Boston. I haven't been there, but we're planning maybe next year to go on a tour of the East Coast, so we might go there next year. But Wrigley Field is just a very special stadium. Everybody feels like they're right on top of the field. There's something about it. And the people, the fans have such electricity. I've never seen fans anything like the ones in Chicago at the Cub games. Even though they, you know, often they're not a good team. You know, they were in 2016, and you know, but they won 108 years before they won the World Series from 1908 to 2016. But they have the most loyal fans I've ever seen, and at the same time, the Chicago White Sox. It's just not the same. And honestly, there's something that stands out at the Cubs. When you're there, and if you say it's the first time you've been there, I actually was there years ago, but I didn't say that. They will give you a certificate that you can take home. And they give you a baseball cap.
So you were
nice?
an official Cubs virgin, or at least you claim to be.
Well, I was there in 2006, long ago, but my son and I got this. They signed it. They put your name on it. It's funny, but I never heard of any stadium doing that. But at the White Sox stadium, we won the third level. And it turns out you cannot go on the first level where the statues are unless you have a first-level ticket. So they limit where you can go. Every other stadium we went to, you could go anywhere. So I thought that was really annoying about the White Sox.
Now on Wrigley Field, what kind of seats did you get? And I hate to ask, how much wallet damage were the seats?
How well damaged, you said?
Wallet damage. Like, how much were they? How many thousands of dollars did you have to pay?
What you meant. They were about, I think about $40 each, and it was in the first level. And we were very, very close.
And that's pretty good. $40, you can barely get a hot dog nowadays, right?
Yes, actually, I never have had hot dogs in a long time. But I had hot dogs at, I think, at five stadiums. Because when you're at a baseball game, you always have to have hot dogs or pizza, you know. So I've had hot dogs, but I'm not going back to hot dogs. I did it while I was away, but I'm not a big hot dog fan.
So you do like
anyway,
Wrigley. Now, I guess we never asked you this, Ron. You're a New Yorker, those, you know, who can who can discern accents like myself can hear an East Coast lilt. Yes. But of course, you're now a Floridian. Exactly, who is your favorite team? We have the Mets, the Yankees. I mean, the Braves are obviously a very good team in the South, but they're the Marlins and Tampa Bay in Florida. Exactly, which baseball team would you call your hometown favorite, or the one that you normally root for? Or do you not root for a team?
At this point, I don't really root for anyone because the Marlins have disappointed me too much. I adopted them, and of course, when they won in 97 and 03, it was great. But I'm sort of like, you know, I'm a National League fan, though, definitely more a National League fan. So I was a Mets fan way back before they left the Brooklyn Dodgers. I was a kid. I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. And I generally like National League teams better. But, I also admire the Yankees historically because of all their records, you know, that they have had more pennants than anybody else, more World Series. And I also like the Cardinals. I've been to St. Louis in the past. And I found the Detroit Tiger Stadium I really liked a lot. And the Cincinnati Stadium I liked a lot. Didn't care for Cleveland that much, to be honest. The Cleveland Stadium did not impress me as much.
Talking to our official political commentator and presidentologist, yeah. Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, author of the daily blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. The blog took a 15-day or so sabbatical while he and his eldest son, David, went to baseball games and explored cities like Chicago and other places of funness, but it's back, and we encourage you to read it. It's typically a 2 or 3 minute long read, and if you don't agree with what he has to say, he won't mind if you throw a rotten egg at your screen, but if you do agree, go on his Facebook, yes. Be a fan of the Progressive Professor, as well as his book about presidential assassinations, or just his personal Facebook, and give him a thumbs up. It's always appreciated. Now, during this trip, Ron, you went through... In fact, pretty much our backyard. In fact, where I live, you were literally shouting distance from my house.
Yeah,
you'd been to Cincinnati before, so as you drove, as I guess your son did the driving, as he drove down I-71,
yes,
Cleveland.
Yes, actually, the total driving was 1,380 miles. Imagine that in 6 days. And then we gave up the car in Chicago, and we had a couple of days there between the White Sox and Cubs. So we went to some museums.
Yeah, so when you drove through miles. Yeah. The Great Buckeye State, Cleveland, Mansfield, Columbus, Cincinnati, and you know you drove through Columbus, did the excitement overwhelm you, or what did you think about the capital city of the Buckeye State?
Well, actually, we're just driving through on the interstate. There was no time. If I could have had time to meet you, I would have done it. But it was just not possible, the scheduling and the amount of time to drive between each place. So. But, you know, I hope someday to come to Columbus and Marion. And I mentioned to Scott Spears, you know, about August 2nd is the centennial of Harding's passing. And I don't know whether he'll ask me, but I did suggest that I'd be willing to be a commentator on that day about the positives of the Harding presidency. Because there's always a lot of emphasis on negatives, but we could talk about the positives. Because it is going to be 100 years in less than a month that Harding passed away.
So... You did notice the Columbus skyline. One thing about Columbus,
yes.
Geographically, it's
very
huge.
Impressive.
It's by far...
Very impressive.
Now in population also. Actually, Columbus has almost three times as many people as Cleveland, and Cincinnati will probably at some point be number two. Cleveland's lost a lot of people. We have close to 1 million just in the city. We are the second largest city in the Midwest behind Chicago, which a lot of people don't know. Not by metro, but by city. So you spent probably 30 minutes or more actually in the city. But you saw the skyline, you saw all the construction.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
Yeah,
it was impressive.
Because it just is so big. But, you know, that Cincinnati skyline, you can't beat it. It just has a beautiful, beautiful setting on the river.
Yes.
And then when you went to the...
Cleveland wasn't as impressive overall. The stadium or Cleveland generally. Although I'd been to Cleveland in the past because Cleveland has all those nearby presidential sites. Hayes, Garfield, and McKinley, and also the First Lady's collection, and also the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in that area, and also the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So there's a lot of things in Cleveland, but I didn't care for it that much, you know.
I know the Cincinnati ballpark better in the Great American Field, and I really didn't have anything against Riverfront. It was one of those cookie cutter circular stadiums, but I don't really see what's wrong with that. They just try to be trendy, and obviously it ends up that everything costs a lot more. It's pretty much an excuse to do that. But it's not a bad stadium, and the Reds have a good young team this year and a lot of tradition.
Yes.
But, as I tell you, I'm still in a fantasy world that Pete and Johnny will come up to the plate and do their thing as part of the game. That will face Mike Schmidt in from Philadelphia, a native of Dayton, you know, big Reds rival. Steve Carlton might pitch against the Reds. Phil Niekro, maybe one of these pitchers that I've had a lot of respect for, that always seemed to be tough on the Reds in later years. The great young pitchers of the Braves, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, Steve Avery, who also played for the Reds, and John Smoltz, outstanding pitcher as a starter and a reliever. So a lot of tradition there in Cincinnati, and you never quite know what the team's going to do, but I guess we shall find out. So you went to Pittsburgh also, right?
Yeah, also Pittsburgh. Ballpark was very impressive.
Yeah,
it was very nice.
Pittsburgh, where you kind of drive through a mountain to get there or leave, and just the Three Rivers. It is an incredibly beautiful city. It's like Cincinnati in some ways, and kind of hilly, and you never can really go anywhere from A to B without going in a curve or taking a sharp turn somewhere. So you really got to stay on your toes, but you can't really beat the scenery.
But imagine 1,380 miles over 6 days. And he said, since he doesn't have a car in Washington, D.C., where he lives, he said, I didn't mind doing it, but I'm glad I don't have to drive all the time. He laughed. Because it was exhausting. It was a lot of driving in 6 days, you know.
In the process, were you impressed by any players? I mean, players you'd not been that familiar with that you now have a bit of an affinity for? You just felt they worked hard, or they were just amazing, or they made a great throw?
I didn't make a list, and of course, there were competing teams against them. I'd have to sit down and think about which players on which teams, because there were so many different teams, and I found some of them very impressive, but I can't honestly say I have a list I could tell you offhand, no. But it was a very interesting tour, and I saw a lot of people, and you know, fans were really great, and they have the fun with the monitor where they show people, you know, and they act silly and all that, you know, all these parks, you know, on the screen, and it's fun, you know, and it was good. It was really an enjoyable trip, and that's why we plan to do another tour, probably go to Baltimore, which we couldn't go to because it wasn't around at the time at home, and also go to New York, both teams, and go up to Boston. We probably do that another year.
And every ballpark kind of has food that's unique. Cincinnati is known for chili and frigetta. Did you have any food that was unique to that particular city in any of these ballparks?
Not really. I either had pizza or I had hot dogs, basically.
Well, you're kind of boring, aren't you? Pizza or hot dogs? Well, that's good American food. And we know you don't.
Chicken tenders.
We know you only drink on New Year's Eve. You have like one glass of wine or a margarita, so you didn't do any drinking.
Yeah, I either had Coke or I had water.
No, does David drink at all? Did he try any craft beers or any unique adult beverages?
He does drink. He does. I think he did once or twice at a beer at dinner, but not at the games, though. No.
Okay, because I mean, the big thing
he's
here.
Not a big drinker either, though.
Yeah, in Ohio is the craft beers and the microbreweries, so that's kind of the end thing. So those who are beer connoisseurs might indulge. So it sounds like you had a good time. You had some father and son bonding, and it's a once in a lifetime thing, and it's good to do something fun and keep your mind off the rather tumultuous political climate that we have here in the United States.
I couldn't believe what happened when I was away with the Russian, you know, with what happened in Russia. In fact, we joked about that because years ago we went to Disney. We were like, 1991, and while we were there, you know, the Soviet Union came to an end in December 1991. Yeah. So we were joking about, my God, every time we go away now, something happens in Russia.
Yeah, I guess next time you go on vacation, who knows what's going to happen?
We could. There's always something, and I was saying, oh, I can't write about this.
Yeah,
because
well,
I'm taking a break
goes.
From it, you know.
Obviously, when you got back, Ron, you were not at a dearth of topics for your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I mean, pick a topic, and you could write a new PhD thesis about it.
Yes, never ends. There's always something new happening. Yep.
Before we get maybe into the more juicy topics, so to speak, the ones that I think are just more generally informative would be some of these Democratic contenders for the future, not necessarily 2024, as well as some of these Republican contenders in the primary. Your governor, you like his first name, but that's about all you like about him. Ron DeSantis.
Correct.
Has thrown his hat in the ring. We know that Donald, assuming he's not wearing an orange jumpsuit, is the leading candidate. Governor of a small state, Kristi Noem of South Dakota. I think she's running. Nikki Haley, she's had multiple.
Well, she hasn't announced those. She has not announced. We have already 13 people. There's too many in the Republican primary. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Nikki Haley, multiple positions, formerly South Carolina governor. She's thrown her hat in the ring. And a few others, Chris Christie, I guess, from New Jersey. We've talked before about your opinions of these people. So any adjustment in how you feel? I mean, you've said Christie has his good points. You obviously don't like Donald. You don't like Ron DeSantis, and you don't like Kristi Noem. You have some affinity for Nikki Haley, but she's kind of come out of favor.
More
with you
do than I do. I've lost faith in her.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a good background. But
right, but there are things about her that at least are beneficial. And, you know, she is a woman. She's multicultural. It'd be kind of cool to have that type of person in office. Certainly.
Well, Tim Scott is also, I think, someone to consider. Tim Scott and also Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas.
But in terms of the Democrats, we have Joe Biden. He's 80 plus, and if he were to win the next election, he would be over 85 before he leaves office.
He'd be 86 in 2 months on the day he left office, because he's born on November 20th. He'd leave on January 20th.
I mean, you said some very complimentary things about him in a recent blog, but do you honestly think he should be sitting in the Oval Office with access to the red telephone in his mid-80s? Is that really something you would be comfortable with?
I love the guy. I really do like him because of his decency. But I am concerned. I've written about that before. I am concerned, and in a way, I wish that he was leaving. But he's not. So I'm going to support him and hope for the best. But I don't really have the same issue as some people do about Vice President Harris. In my mind, Vice President Harris could be fine in the White House as much as anybody. May not be the favorite I would pick, but I mean, the Vice President is usually not someone everybody likes anyway. But I think she's qualified if something happens. And then, of course, there'd be a replacement vice president under the 25th Amendment if that happens. So, but honestly, I would prefer, I guess, if we had new people running. And there's a lot of good people in the Democratic Party, but they're staying back because they're honoring Joe Biden's decision to run.
He's had a good record
for 2.5 years, but his age is a problem. It worries me. Yeah.
Talking with Dr. Ron Fineman here on The Talking Place with me, Adam Lepp. On the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning, mid-afternoon, or whatever you want to listen, coffee break program, radio extravaganza. Now, we've brought this up before, Ron, and, you know, we have our opinions. Do you personally believe that Joe Biden has any kind of early-stage Alzheimer's or a similar condition? What do you think of his mental faculties as he is now an 80-year-old man? What do you personally think?
I notice he flubs, he makes mistakes, but actually, I do, probably you do, everybody does, but they're not public figures where everybody's watching and listening and noticing if you trip or if you make a mistake. I just that he's more watched, just as Donald Trump is, because they're always in the news. But I am not, I just worry about the next term, about what will he be like in 2026, 2027. I'm not so worried about now, but it is still another 5.5 years from July 20th, and that part worries me, you know, that. That's why I actually think the odds are probably more than 50-50 that Harris will be president in the next term, most likely. Not this term, but probably the next term.
You're a PhD, Ron, not an MD, but you weren't born yesterday. You're a very smart man. And you're saying we all have senior moments, even if we're not senior citizens. That's just human nature.
I certainly do, and I'm not being watched all the time.
Presidents are under the microscope 24/7, 366 in leap years and 365 otherwise. And Joe Biden is known. He's not, you know, he's not known always to be sharp when he speaks. That he was been like that since he entered politics when he was in his 30s.
Yeah. But he was 29 when he got elected.
Yeah. You feel though that his faculties are not a problem, but as he gets into his 80s, you kind of wonder.
I wonder what it'll be like in year 6 and 7. Yeah, not so much now. But in the next term, I think it is. That's why I think the odds are growing that, unfortunately, he might either pass away or become unable to do the job under the 25th Amendment, and that Harris would become president. Yeah. I think that is possible, but I don't think that's a tragedy if she does. I think she's fine. You know, some people don't like her because but actually she was a hardline Attorney General of California. She was a senator. I wouldn't call her loose and liberal on the left side much, except on abortion. She is, yes, but I agree with her on that. But a lot of people don't like her, and I think a lot of it's because she's a woman, just like Hillary Clinton, and because she's also mixed race. I think those prejudices get in the way. If she was a white man, I don't think anybody would be upset about her being next in line.
So it's just a wait and see, but Joe Biden's already...
Well, there's no guarantee. Yeah. There's no guarantee to life. I want to point out, I have thought about the fact. It's interesting. This is the third year of the term, And in the third year of the 1920 election winner, Warren G. Harding, he died on August 2nd, 1923. And then in the third year of the Kennedy presidency after 1960, he died in November 22. And now we're in the third year of the 2020 election, a round number zero election. So it's crossed my mind, gosh, could this be another Harding-Kennedy situation?
I thought about
it the last week or so. I have.
I mean, you know what I think about Joe Biden from a mental standpoint and politically. To me, physically, he does look healthy. I mean, he's trim. He looks older. I mean, he's wrinkled and he has thinning white hair. But I mean, he looks, to me, he looks healthy. I'm not seeing that old man appearance in him. I'm seeing signs of age, but he seems spry, out of lack of a better term, from a physical standpoint.
Better than Trump, certainly. Trump is overweight. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I see it. I mean, you look at pictures of him when he was in his 30s and 40s, and you can tell it's him, but. Obviously, Father Time has done some work on his face, but from a physical standpoint, yeah, I mean, he does look healthy, and that's just fascinating as I approach this tremendous birthday and goodness sakes, under 11
yes.
months, I look at what does Father Time do, and you gain wisdom, you may lose sharpness, or do you lose sharpness, and again, when I go to the gym, I see men who are 60s above who look like they could run a marathon, but I walk down the street and I see a 20-year-old who looks like he should talk to a cardiologist about high blood pressure.
And, oh, gosh, yes.
It really does depend on the person and staying healthy.
Yeah.
And as I've talked about Trump, yeah, he's overweight. He likes to brag about eating unhealthy. We've all had the grandmother who chain-smoked and ate fast food and lived to be 85. My grandma chain-smoked. Strong cigarettes. She was a bit overweight, but she was somewhat active, but she lived to be about 80. We've all had a grandparent like that, and we've had people we know that have passed away at a young age who appeared to be the pinnacle of health. So, you know, me having lost both parents, every day I wake up is a blessing as far as I see it.
I feel the same way, but I want to say, without bragging, but maybe it sounds it, I'm a year in it, well, basically 2 years younger than Biden. But I think I look a lot younger than Joe Biden. That I would say.
No, I definitely agree. In the face, Joe Biden looks his age. You don't. I mean, I've not met you personally, but I've seen some close-up pictures. And yes, I have magnified them and looked at your face. And you do not look like
Zoom, you've seen it.
You do not look like a man in your upper 70s. I'll tell you that much. Really, not even close to that.
And I still teach and do lectures to keep my mind active, so hopefully I will never have dementia. I'm hopeful,
Yeah, I'm fully believe if you stay active, it's okay to be semi-retired, enjoy the last segment of your life, I guess you want to call it, but you should stay active, and that's important, and I think you have that formula down, and it's great. I don't think anybody could possibly not admire you for doing that. They don't have to like your politics or like you as a person, but at least admire that you stay active and you know how to work the system at the age that you're at. And
yes, thank you.
That's best I can tell you. And I hope that when I'm your age, and really be that long, will it, before I'm your age, that like yourself, I'm still vibrant and healthy.
On my son's birthday, he was 44. It's my half birthday, so I'm 78.5 plus now.
Yep. Well, that's how it goes. Okay. So we're talking to Ron Feynman on The Talking Place, author of the blog theprogressiveprofessor.com, and kind of working our way into some of the more juicy topics. On your blog of July 8th, four really likable Democratic politicians, and these people are all relatively young, and they're all two of them are young enough almost to be my, one's young enough to be my kid, one's almost young enough, and two, my much younger brother. Let's start with, and I tend to like this guy, Josh Shapiro. He's Jewish, I believe,
I like him a lot.
Yeah, never had a Jewish, we have a Jewish second gentleman, right? Kamala Harris's husband, but never had a Jewish president. So, nice round age, 50, he's from a neighboring state, which I like. Tell us more about Josh Shapiro.
State, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Josh Shapiro, Ron, as I recall, he's fairly moderate, and he's likable, well-spoken. What do you like about this guy, and do you see him as a legitimate candidate?
Yeah, well, he's not, of course, for now, but 4 years, five years from now. He was the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, and now he's governor, and he comes across as decent and humane and compassionate. He has the kind of characteristics that I see that I always found in Hubert Humphrey, who was my original hero, and in Joe Biden, who I always have said became the inheritor of Hubert Humphrey as far as compassion, decency, and, you know, and all that. And that's what I see with all these people. Now, Senator Ossoff of Georgia is only 36. He's also Jewish, by the way. But I really like the guy. And also Chris Murphy, there was rumors he was going to run in 2020. He didn't. But I even bought some buttons about Murphy. I really like Chris Murphy, who, by the way, is not Irish Catholic. He's Irish Protestant, just for the record. With a name like Murphy, you think he's Catholic, but he's actually Protestant. Yeah. And then the African-American governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, I see him as in the tradition, in many ways, of Barack Obama. And so I just like these people. Now, I don't know how far they're going to go, but I'm willing to bet that many of them will be running for president in 2028. Even if it's President Harris has taken over, I think they will challenge her. And others would. I think it'll be an open race in 2028. And if Biden finishes his term, then certainly there will be an open race.
As a former resident of Connecticut, I remember Chris Dodd, so there must be a common name in Connecticut for politicians.
I guess.
Chris
Dodd, I never liked as a person. I didn't like Chris, that he's too shifty, and I never thought he had that great ethics, you know, my opinion of him. But Chris Murphy is really a tremendously decent man, with compassion, ethics, and morality. And I like these people. I want people like that in the White House, and we don't get it very often. And that's why I would like to see someone like this in the future. And I like these people. And they're very young, so they have potential.
You also wrote recently, Wang, not the band Wang Chung, but Wang, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, the states likely to decide the presidential election of 24. And I would tend to agree. Now, normally you expect Ohio to be in there, but I don't see the Buckeye State being mentioned.
Not as likely, though.
Yeah. Republican-leaning states that are not solid are Texas, Florida, Alaska, Ohio, and, of course, Iowa. So we have Wisconsin. That one often comes up, and that's the closest to us. Well, I guess Georgia. Georgia's not much further away than Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's a Midwestern state, so I guess it's considered to be closer to Ohio. What's up? What's up in the America's Dairyland of Wisconsin that makes it so important?
Well, Wisconsin used to be the home of progressivism, like Robert La Follette Sr. and his son Robert La Follette Jr. And later, it was a Democratic state with William Proxmire and people like that. But then, of course, things changed, and about 15 years ago, Scott Walker came along as governor of Wisconsin, and the state turned very far to the right. But now, they had a recent state Supreme Court election where they elect, and a Democrat won, and now the balance of the court is Democratic. And so, and with the governor being a Democrat with a hardline Republican legislature, there's the potential for change that will become like Minnesota and Michigan, because Minnesota and Michigan have become much more Democratic now. They weren't, but Michigan and Minnesota, both sides of Wisconsin, have. So I'm hopeful Wisconsin will go back to its progressive and liberal traditions, but it's a crucial state, and it will be a very close election there, as in Georgia, of course. Georgia's always going to be that way. And then to a lesser extent, I think certainly we would have to say that Arizona will certainly be at the center of attention. Nevada, not as much, although it's also smaller. But the others, if the estimate that some people in the New York Times and Washington Post say that Democrats are ahead in 260 electoral votes to 235 for the Republicans, in theory, on paper at this point, all you have to do for the Democrats is win either Wisconsin or Arizona or Georgia, and you have 270 or more. So it's going to be a very close electoral vote again, and probably a recount, and it's going to be stressful because I'm not sure that the other side is going to accept defeat. If they lose it, there'll probably be more troubles, and so I'm concerned about that.
Well, we shall see. Well, we're two-thirds through our program, and as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. Let's switch gears a bit and get to the more juicy topics. Now, while you were going to baseball games, Ron, the world seems to have turned over. Now, the issue of the religious freedom, let me just ask you a question. This is from many years ago, the baker who did not want to bake a cake for the gay people.
Yes.
My perspective is that, although I don't think that was a good business decision, and I don't think you should really base whichever it is, who your clientele are, based upon whom they wish to be romantic with. I think it's well on that person's right to decline business. That is not the same as Walmart saying we don't allow gay people, black people, young people, old people, ugly people, whatever, to shop at our store. This is a creative job, and the baker has every right, in my opinion, and as I see it legally, to say, I don't want to bake a cake because I do not agree with the fact that you have an affectional and sexual interest for the same gender. That doesn't mean you have to agree with that, but I'm sorry, I decline your business, I decline your money. To me, that is perfectly fine. I also agree that the web designer has a right to say, I don't want to design a website for a same-sex marriage. I will not do that. I appreciate that you have your checkbook out, and I wish you luck and a long, happy life together, but it's against my religious beliefs or any other kind of belief to do that. I'm in complete agreement with that. I respect that person's decision. I don't agree with it, but it's America, and I think we have a right to do that. In addition, why would the gay couple want to have a website or a cake designed by someone who doesn't agree with an important part of their life? It's like, why would you even worry about it? So let me ask you, Ron, because I'm sure we discussed this before, and I don't remember. Do you agree with me that, although it's not really nice to decline that business, it is reasonable, and it is very different from Walmart saying we will not allow, you know, pick a minority to enter our store. Do you agree with me on that partially, or what's your opinion from a philosophical standpoint?
To an extent, but what happens if someone says they don't want to bake a cake or do a website for a couple that's Jewish and Christian, let's say, or Jewish and Muslim, or Muslim and Christian, or mixed race, white and black? You know, I do think it becomes a problem. In those regards, I'm not totally happy with what they did. And I still think religion should not be part of government getting involved in promoting religion. And to me, they're advocating religion by doing that. I think religion is separate, and it should not be part of the legal system to have fights about religion. But
you and I don't agree with the person thinking that way. And as a small business owner, I do not have to agree with a lifestyle or demographic. I will still be happy to design a website or fix a computer or notarize something, one of my many business skills. I may not be as happy to do it, but I'm an American. I'm a capitalist. I'm not going to turn down your money. But do you think that it should be required? I mean, that's what's come here. Should it be required that web, you know, I'm a web designer too. That's one thing that I do. Should it be required that any web designer, including myself, even though I would not personally do this, should be required to design a website, even if the client is on a demographic or belief that isn't consistent with the developer? Do you agree with that? Should it be required?
Well, I would put it this way. I think the court should not be invoking religion at all in any case. We're not a Christian country. This is a country that maybe there's more people who are Christian, but we're not a Christian nation, as many of these overly religious people claim, and I think they're trying to impose their will, and I think the Supreme Court has been doing that in a lot of cases, and I don't like it, so I have a problem with that, because I think that, you know, religion is supposed to be total separation of church and state, and the court should not be involved in those things and forcing people either way to either do something or not.
Well, that's kind of how I feel, so is why do we even worry about it, you know? So you're saying you agree with me, maybe not the philosophically the same way, because again, I'm not a I'm not a religious person. I mean, you're maybe slightly more religious than I am, but I wouldn't call you
not really, not by much.
Yeah, very very slightly. You know, neither of us is is a very religious person. We both believe in God, though. So put it that way, we're not atheists.
Yeah.
We're just not very religious, which is fine. That's something.
And I must say, I invoke God sometimes when I have a pain. I say, "Oh my God," or something.
Yeah,
I definitely but do invoke God, but not
you do not.
So
you do not believe that a web designer should be fined or in any way be considered breaking the law if he or she says, "I do not want to design a website for you because of something about your lifestyle, your demographic, whom you do adult activities with." Is not consistent with my beliefs. You agree with me on that? That it's not cool. I'm saying it's very uncool.
I would,
and it's not smart from a business standpoint because their money is green, and I will gladly take their money. I may not agree with it, but I'll still do it. And as I like to say, if I were to look at every one of my clients, and I've serviced computers for hundreds of people, remotely and in person. If I were to look at the political and religious beliefs, if I were to know what they were of all these clients, I wouldn't have any clients because there was no way that I'd be consistent with every person's beliefs. So I don't care. Yeah. All, you know, I don't care as long as your money is green. And
yeah, well, I would just say that in my opinion, that the court should have dismissed the case and not made a determination in it and left it open. I don't think it should have invoked the issue of Christianity in law. I don't think it should be that. So in that sense, I think it was wrong what they did.
But shouldn't somebody have protection to say, this is America, and I'm sorry, but you have a belief system or something about you that is not consistent with what I believe, whether it's religious or not, and I decline you as a client. I know that you have your checkbook out. I know that you feel that I'm an excellent web designer, baker, what have you, but I'm sorry, I must decline your business. To me, I think we need some protection to be able to say that without somebody filing a lawsuit, and that's kind of what the idea was, because I think that the couple
even
that...
Though it's not even,
to me, the couple that filed the lawsuit against the baker, I'm disgusted with them. They should have taken their business elsewhere. They were just trying to prove a point and be loud is what they were doing. I mean, goodness sakes, why would you want to hire a baker who is philosophically, and again, philosophically, including religiously, opposed to the most important event in your adult life? I mean, goodness sakes. That's how I see it. And, you know, I'll just talk about what you're saying.
I just wish they had dismissed the case and not made a determination.
I wish we didn't have to do that, but I think we have to because we have a lot of these loudmouths out there and crybabies, and that's how I see it. The people that wanted the cake baked, they're a bunch of loudmouths who tried to cause trouble. I'm confident that that's what they were doing, and that's not cool either. It's not cool to say I'm not going to bake a cake because I don't like gay people for whatever reason, but it's equally uncool, if not more uncool, to try to force that person and find another baker, for goodness sakes.
A different web designer.
I mean, come on. I don't want to pat myself on the back, Ron, but, you know, you've used me for computer skills. You know that I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
I think advantage of, well, I appreciate that, and you wrote a nice review, which I appreciate greatly. And you wouldn't have written it if you didn't believe it. I mean, I know you're like me. You're not going to say something just to patronize. You're gonna say what you mean, and if you don't like it, you're going to tell me, which is fine. But I think one great thing about me, you know, sorry I pat myself on the back, is I get along with everybody. I may not agree with what you have to say, but again, I'm here to help you and root for you, and I'm not going to sit there and delineate every belief you have or take a look at everything about you, but, you know, A to Z. You know, what do you think about abortion? What do you think about COVID? What do you think about capital punishment? I mean, goodness sakes, I'm there to serve you, and I'm gonna provide a service that you're paying for, an artistic type of service, and that's the more important thing to me.
And that's why I wish everybody would take your view and not care about their religious views, you know, that because I'm Christian or I'm Jewish or Muslim, I won't. To me, religion should not be invoked, but I guess you can't prevent people from doing it. But to me, it promotes hatred and prejudice and discrimination, and that bothers me, you know, whether
it's black or Jewish or gay. I think protection, I think, is needed. We need to be able to cite something. I just wish we wouldn't have to. Because I think that there's guilt on both sides, and if you want my opinion, the couples who made noise about the web designer and about the baker, they're a lot more uncool than the baker or the web designer. I respect the baker and web designer. I don't agree with their beliefs, but I respect these people for standing up for what they believe in and not allowing themselves to be bullied. And bottom line is, they're getting a lot of business by doing this, not just from people who are Christian, who want to patronize a Christian business, and there's nothing wrong with that, even people like myself, who don't even agree with them, who agree with the fact that they stand up for their rights. I respect that. To me, that's important. And I think they did it in a dignified way, and they're the ones who are benefiting, as I see it. So I think we pretty much agree. I mean, I may have a little more vocal opinion about it, but you see what I'm saying. It is America, and we certainly agree, because people have brought this up. We're going to bring back discrimination. We're not going to allow pick a minority into Walmart. No, we're not saying that. That is nothing like baking a cake or designing a website or doing any kind of creative work. And again, goodness sakes, why would you want someone to do something for the most important event of your adult life if this person did not agree with the event that he or she was doing the creative work for? So, I mean, goodness sakes, it's so immature, out of lack of a better term, for people to think that way. So I'm glad that we agree. And you agree with me also, Ron. This does not mean that we're going to go back to the discrimination to a sign on a store saying, no, you know, pick a minority, no gay people, black people, young people, ugly people, old people, fat people, thin people. Restaurants aren't going to say that. They might have, that when you were a child. We're not going back to that, because that is not the same thing. That's not even close to this, I'm not going to bake a cake because I don't agree with your lifestyle. We agree with
You're right on that, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you've probably had people say that, because we've seen a lot of stuff on Facebook about that. So if someone were to say to you, you know, Ron, you're a historian, you know, you've been around the block, you know, you may not look it, but we know how old you are. When you were a kid, you certainly saw signs that said that certain minorities were not allowed into a certain business. And we are people on Facebook saying, well, we're kind of going back to that, that you can discriminate. But you agree with me the cake baking and the website designing and anything similar, that is nothing at all like saying a minority cannot go into a restaurant or store. It's totally different.
I hope it follows up on that in future cases, though, that they cannot allow discrimination, you know, in other situations. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
But you've seen where people have said that we're going back to that, and we're not. It is totally different. But I think we also agree that should it even be necessary? Why did the gay couple? And the gay couple knew that this baker was Christian and probably was going to say no. I mean, they knew that. I mean, come on. They were just trying to cause trouble. And I find that to be a lot more uncool than what the baker did. That's my own personal assessment, because I don't know any of these people, but that's kind of how I feel. So I guess this is one case, Ron, where we agree pretty much completely. And I think it's just a shame that we have to come down to deciding this stuff in a higher court. It's like...
That's what I mean. It should never come to the courts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why don't we just try to get along and understand there are differences, and it's America. There are lots of bakers. Find another one. And...
Or web designers.
Yeah. And, you know, tell people out there, let's make a little plug here. I'm not a very religious person, but if you'd like me to design a website for your religious organization, I'd be more than happy to. I've worked with churches and people that are religious, and we can shake hands, we can laugh about our differences, and again, as long as your money is green, that's all I care about.
In fact, that's the one thing I wish, that we could all laugh about differences, but there's so much hatred still based on race and sexuality and gender. It still goes on, and that's what's very disturbing. You know?
Yeah, I wish we could all get along, and that's probably a pipe dream, but... Oh, well. In fact, I'd like to say that I like doing things for people whose beliefs are different than mine, because I can grow and we can laugh about it. And, you know, Ron and I don't agree on a lot of things, and we can still shake hands and laugh. That's the way grown-ups can be, and that's, we need more of that.
You're correct.
And so,
you're correct.
On that note, we're going to table the most controversial topic until next time, and that's about, you know what the next most controversial topic is, affirmative action. We're going to talk about that probably on our next show. That's another interesting topic that I'm not quite sure what else to say, but certainly has generated a large amount of controversy. With 1 minute left, Ron, because it is such an important topic, and I know people want to hear about it. What is your, before, and I'm not going to make any opinion, for in 1 minute, what is your quick assessment of the affirmative action decision?
It's disturbing that it was dropped completely at those two universities. I think it should have been modified, but I'm not happy about getting rid of it, because unfortunately, like at Harvard, we have people who get in because of their family members having been there, and that should be stopped, because that's unfair advantages for whites, and I think it should be really equal, and I think Harvard particularly has to change its policy on that. Also, University of North Carolina, I understand now they're going to give free tuition to everybody under 80,000. So that will probably help to overcome what happened with the affirmative action decision. I mean, the argument is the affirmative action is necessary, but maybe modification, I think, would have been best.
Yeah. Well, we agree much more than I thought we did. I'm just going to say it very quickly how I feel instead of spending an hour, because we're running out of time. Discrimination against anybody is wrong. we should endeavor to have a diverse student body, a diverse anything. Diversity, especially in the humanities, as you know, provides better opinions because people have different backgrounds and we can learn from each other. But discrimination yes. in any form is wrong. And yeah,
you're right.
That's the best way to say it. And on that note,
thanks so much.
We really appreciate you being on the show with us, Ron. Great, stimulating conversation, and we're saving some more topics for the next time we get together, more blog topics, and who knows what might occur in the world between now and the next time we get together. We're glad you had a safe and educational and fun baseball park tour, and we thank folks for listening. Be sure to view Ron's blog at theprogressiveprofessor.com.